very special episode of Upstaging on the Town, where we will be talking about UNCG's Mock and All. I'm Adrian.
I'm Drew.
I'm Jeremy.
And our very special guest,
Catherine Olsen.
Well, we shouldn't yay Mock and All, because Mock and All is not
it's
a
super
gay,
depressing.
It's
and
rather
makes
depressing.
It makes me feel uncomfortable about living in society.
But yay Mock and All!
But yay Mock and All! It was so good.
It was really so good.
I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. It is a draining show to do, for sure.
I can imagine. I can absolutely imagine.
Mostly to watch Natalie go through, and it's a very difficult show for her to
She's amazing.
Watching her go through that process has been nothing but a treat.
She has such energy.
A treat?
Yeah. She sits on such a rich emotional life and is able to channel it really well.
So we should give some shout outs to some of the people behind this show. Directed by Denise Gabriel,
mm-hmm.
who is our resident Professor Trelawney.
I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
Well, get used to it. You keep stealing my jokes. I'll steal some of yours. I want to know about this actually for you. Mm-hmm. What was it like working with Denise on this show? How was that?
She's very movement oriented. She's particular, but
now remember, she might hear this.
Creatively particular.
Yeah.
So that she knows what she wants, but she's willing to go whatever way she needs to go to get there.
Okay.
She doesn't have everything planned out, but you know that she knows what she wants, and you know that she's getting there. And so definitely the entire process, you know that what she's doing, there is a purpose for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
That's a lot of fun.
I
love how into the idea of exploring the play she seemed this morning, because I was hanging with Katie in the box office this morning, and Denise came by, and she was saying how she had this idea of where it was going, right? But she didn't plan too much of the journey out of how she was going to get to the end point of what she wanted.
No, she really met us and how we entered into the room every day.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so she would enter in and she would greet each one of us individually, and we would go up and do the scene. And really, the adjustments that she made dealt with how we were in that moment, which is fantastic because that's how live theater is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we knew the ending result that she would like to have, but she was also willing to help us get there in many different forms throughout the rehearsal process. And that was especially fascinating to watch Natalie go through that, our leading lady,
mm-hmm.
Who really is in every single scene. She runs a marathon from beginning to end.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Brower. Okay, yeah. Sorry, I thought I heard it Brewer, but Brower.
I've heard it both.
Katie Brewer and Natalie Brower.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Brower. Thank you. I don't wanna.
Did that get confusing through the process?
Not at all.
Brower and Brewer.
I can definitely say that. I don't think that ever came up.
Say that five times fast. Brower.
That's like that.
Yeah.
One smart fellow. He felt smart.
Too smart. Two fart smellows.
No.
Nah.
Please, Brer Rabbit, don't throw me in the cabin.
Nice.
So,
Can I first ask you guys about the masks? So that was something that we were on and off about throughout the rehearsal process.
Mm-hmm.
And Denise had her reasons for them, and I certainly grew very fond of all the masks that I got to wear. So what were your ideas about the mask? What do you think the message of that was? How did you like Natalie not being in mask versus others being in mask? What were your thoughts about that?
You know what?
Go for it.
I got this theory. Mm-hmm. No, that to live your life every day normally, to be a machine, is to be dead.
Hmm.
Now, here's my backing for this. When Ben died, he got a mask.
Spoilers, by the way.
Oh, my bad.
Actually, funny story, he really just wanted to be a part of the jury one day.
Dang
it! He just put on a mask and sat, and Denise loved it.
Oh, my God. I was trying to hope that there was some crazy, deeper meaning there, but boom, came crashing down like a ton of bricks.
I felt like, for me, you all right? You all right, big cat?
No, that was funny.
For me, the point of it came across as they were really trying to show that whether or not you agree or disagree with what she does, is that the young woman, your main character, that she doesn't quite fit into what the rest of the world is doing and what the rest of the world expects. So she gets married to this guy, not because she likes him or she loves him, but because she'll be set for life.
Mm.
Which traditionally...
And every girl has to get married.
Yeah, exactly. So,
nonsense.
But,
quotes from the show.
Right.
So it seemed like the mask, they were trying to show how she, her mother... Her husband and the lover. It was all supposed to represent like these people don't quite fit in with what the rest of the world says they should be, and that's why they don't wear the masks. I don't know if that's true.
Maybe. I mean, the thing is, but then how does that explain Ben's character? Because he fits directly, I feel, into that world. You know, he is an older man in a position of financial power, and he is behaving exactly how you'd expect an older man in a position of power.
Should Ben have
the mask? I think the only reason he didn't have a mask is because he was still somewhat of a complicated character that the audience gets to know and that she gets to know.
Mm-hmm.
I think the difference between people in masks and people not in masks are the people who are actually, like, really in her life and
right.
that she gets to know. And then everyone else is just sort of, like, going around and they just seem like these two-dimensional...
cogs in the machine.
I guess I didn't really feel the machine imagery that much.
Well,
I felt it way more in the workshop that happened last year. Of Mock and All. Like, I definitely, it was like, everyone was doing, like, it was almost like
that
a thing
really
of
is
stomp.
Only prevalent within the first scene.
Yeah, exactly.
After
sure.
that,
I
it
think,
turns more into individual.
Yeah, I think the title is a red herring.
Yeah, I think it's,
mm-hmm.
I think it would be, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a little misleading then, isn't it?
Yeah.
That the title is only really relatable to one particular scene of the show.
Maybe.
We tried to
keep
that mindset as an ensemble, that we are just cogs within the machine, and that we had to operate at a certain pace, which is why our beginning pre-show show
right.
helped us with that. And also within our set changes, you're supposed to have that mindset. But those are in dark, so they're
I did really feel the machinery, because especially in the final scene, all of the blocking was there. It was lines. It was horizontal and vertical lines. Like, there was no diagonal crosses. It was all coming straight down, coming straight up, cutting straight across. Especially like when the priest comes down, he's only working on those. And maybe that's just a blocking choice.
Oh yeah.
See, he's working right on this direct path, and everyone felt that way. Like, I didn't notice a whole lot of diagonal crosses, and I noticed a lot of vertical and horizontal crosses.
Interesting.
But maybe I just missed some. I'm sure
I
missed some.
He is a priest, so maybe
crosses. Maybe it's a crucifix. But
there are a couple of religious allusions in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember the hospital scene.
She
compares herself to the Virgin Mary, but like not in a positive light.
Yeah.
And that was a very striking moment for me.
I did get the machinery, though. I did pick up on that in a lot of ways, especially with like the repetition. A lot of the characters repeat themselves and say the same things.
Hot dog.
I did notice that. I did pick up on the machinery field, but maybe that's not... Maybe that wasn't Denise's focus, because I feel like this show, when you direct it, there's so many different ways you can take it.
Yeah.
And instead of going the machinery, like society is a machine type of route, I feel like she took
it a different way. It felt less like a machine and more like a storm that she was in the
mm-hmm.
center of, and that she was getting batted around.
Yeah.
In the eye of a hurricane.
Yeah, sort of.
because she really didn't find solace anywhere, did she?
No.
Mm-hmm.
She had nothing to cling to. Even Nikita
mm-hmm.
eventually betrayed her.
Yes.
Dang.
And he wasn't even there for
harsh
that.
Harsh browns.
Yeah.
Need some ketchup for those harsh browns. You know what I mean?
You're killing me here.
Sorry.
There's so many Drewisms that I'm so worried they're gonna sneak into my vocabulary.
You are one to talk, Pundrian.
I
don't want to hear.
Oh my
that.
Gosh.
But at least they're all different puns. You have, like, the same couple of phrases. You
well,
have catchphrases.
I'm annoying.
You're not in a sitcom.
I'm annoying. What do you want from me?
At least I don't think. Are we in a...
We'll be back to
the camera. Oh, my God. My whole life is a lie.
So, yeah, I'm also recording this to put on Flodoodlebacher. So we're actually on camera and being recorded at the same time.
Whoa!
Andy, to the action.
Catherine.
You were going to say something, Katie.
Was I?
You looked like it.
Maybe just reaction.
Never mind.
What other questions did you feel like you weren't sure the audience would react?
Interesting.
Can we talk about people who are on their phones during the show?
Oh my
god.
Wait, what happened? All right, let's do an upstaging PSA.
Someone in front of me, like, almost every scene change was just like...
Sad. It's just really sad.
Yeah, we had text tones going off in preview.
All right.
I heard a couple of Facebook message pings during a couple
PSA
of messages.
From the upstaging crew. When you go into a performance scenario, just shut it off.
Turn
it's
it off.
See, here's the thing.
And if somebody's going to die, why are you in a performance right now? Go take care of that. Like that.
Yeah. Here's my thing.
Audited.
Is that this isn't a movie. You're in a room with the actual people who are doing this performance. And with theater, unlike most other kinds of art, the artists and the audience are in a relationship. the audience is very much a part of it. That is why actors bow at the end of the show. It's not to be like, I'm so great. It's a reason it's a bow and not a wave and I'm so awesome. They bow because thank you, audience, for allowing me to do this.
It's honoring
for
the
you
the
here. And if the audience is disconnecting and disturbing people around them and disconnecting from the show, they're not allowing the actor to actually do what they're trying to do and do what they're paid to do and do what they paid to see them do. And it's like smoking, where it all, not only does it make you an asshole, but it disturbs everyone else around you.
Yeah. Turn it off.
Like a light switch.
Just go click. What a cool little theater trick.
Hey.
Anyway.
So I want to ask you, because a lot of like the language in this show is written so strangely. I'm curious as to what was it like working with that, because, and I haven't read the script, but just listening to like the way it's written, it sounds like it's very strange. It does take place
at a different time.
Yeah, what was that like for you?
We put it into a more modern context, simply so people could relate to her more. And also see that machine still exists today, not just back then. Because I feel like sometimes people look at historical plays and disconnect from saying, it's not like that.
We've improved since then. It's not like that anymore.
No.
At least I'm better than those people. I am not sexist.
Exactly. Awesome. So to have the iPads present and to have it be a lethal injection instead of an electrocution, those are all choices that we made to set it within the 2006 kind of vibe, as opposed to
1906.
I don't think that's the exact time, but
close enough.
It was supposed to be 20s, right?
Well, it is based off of a real woman. Yeah. Trying to remember her name. I feel embarrassed for
not
remembering.
Is it not Helen Jones?
Huh?
Is it not? Her name was Helen Jones, right? In the show,
it might be loosely based off of her.
I believe so.
Maybe. Who knows?
I don't remember.
It's probably on the back.
Or
George
some other
H.
woman.
Jones.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that was a different thing to try to grasp a hold of. But after a while, you know, it really isn't that much of a barrier, especially if you just kind of go through your character choices. There's a few sentences that are odd, like they say "ain't" a lot.
Yeah.
They say gee a lot. Mm-hmm. Hot dog, you know, like there's
hot
certain
dog.
Things
hot
like that.
Dog.
Hot dog.
But like,
which is
yeah.
peculiar, but I feel like the audience, it's easy to accept that language rather rapidly, to be like, okay, so this is how it's written. I'll accept it and move on.
Right.
Because then after a while, it really didn't seem to appear to be a problem at all.
Catherine, I want to talk to you about choreography a little bit.
Yes.
You had, I personally loved the introduction. So the introductory scene to the play with all of you guys like on the subway and in this crazy city life. So can you talk about a little bit about that process of figuring that out?
Yes. So that came on pretty late in the rehearsal process. We knew that it was going to be there, but we wanted to make sure that everything set in the script was done first.
Mm.
And then it was really just a matter of...
And there's nothing in the script that says, like, she's on a subway, da-da-da-da.
No.
It just
starts off with the first scene.
She mentions it a lot
all those
later
bodies
through the
pressing.
Show. Yeah, exactly. She talks about being on the subway and stuff like that.
So Denise decided to just show us that instead of talk about
it? Yeah, she decided that she wanted
that's
us.
That's a good choice.
It was
a great sort of thesis. For the show, it's like this is what's happening.
Yeah, it was a great way to
and
like,
in,
drop
yeah.
us into the circumstances.
It solidified that imagery of her sort of like having to bounce around from all these forces of these personalities and huge powers that be.
Yeah, we received the sounds of it first, and then Denise just wanted it to be a certain length to be able to just the right amount of time where it isn't too long that you guys lose focus, but it's long enough that you do. Like you said, get what the feel of this is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think they really did succeed in that. At the beginning, we kind of enter in as our own characters. We're allowed to. Like, I had my fun mask on with a permanent smirk. And she's always really fun to play. And so we choreographed who needs to move where and when and who's going out which doors. But we were able to have a little bit more fun with our characters, shout at each other, hey, excuse me, and whatnot. And then Denise really wanted there to be, like, a break. And then for it to all of a sudden be in lines. And then it really would look like a machine, people just like stamped out, just going as fast as they can.
It was pretty scary.
With the same walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed I felt like some anxiety. Like, I was like, my foot was doing the bug.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing is, each one of us, before we'd go on, we'd see the light go off, we'd be tapping our foot, and then we'd go.
Nice.
It was fun.
I love that, how you kind of get into the ticking of it,
and then...
And you know what I liked? That break totally set out, and I think that's what showed me it's like... Because you say you didn't feel the machine, but I that scene in particular really showed me that
early on, but I didn't think
maybe later on
it was. I didn't feel it through the whole, like, it was like a big, like, allegorical metaphor thing. I was like, I felt it in the office. I felt it on the subway.
Do you think
didn't necessarily
we start
it.
We stop focusing
on
the machine?
Yeah, you don't feel it with in the bar.
We start focusing at the
just it was like conversations
in the
between just one or two characters.
Or
in the court.
No, not really in the court. The court's
the
really.
I didn't even really feel it in the hospital because the ensemble in the hospital, it was people. Yeah, there were like doctors and nurses like passing by in the background, but they were like talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
They felt like there were people.
Mm-hmm.
See,
what I did feel was the constant noise in the
mm-hmm.
hospital.
Yeah,
which
that was pretty.
I love the sound work
mm-hmm.
in Mach and all.
Oh yeah, it was
pretty
beautiful.
Do I have my program?
Do you have your program on you?
That's what I was.
I was checking for mine to see if we have it because
Rachel.
Yes, he does have the program, so we can give specific shout-outs.
Hell yes, all right. Sound and light, well, Noah Davis is always the sound and light.
Noah Davis, yeah, of course.
Who is the sound designer?
Noah.
Rachel.
Awesome. And so many people in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so much great work.
I feel like in particular, I really like Ben Baker's performance. I think he's
mm-hmm.
he was awesome.
He's
as
funnier.
That,
with.
Yeah,
he does the stylistic type acting very, very well.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Like
he rises
you,
to be equal with the masks,
yeah,
which is difficult to
do. Yeah,
exactly.
Because
they're
like,
very present.
Because he's the one character. Like if we talk about the thing where it's like people not in masks don't fit in the machine, but he fits in the machine. So, but he's such an outrageousness
mm-hmm.
that he still fits in the machine without the mask because he sort of is a mask unto himself.
I think he's the face of the machine.
Yeah,
you know what I mean,
he's the like.
Have you seen The Matrix? This is a weird reference. Have you seen The Matrix 3, the
no.
third one? Okay, at the like the machines have like an actual like a face shows up, like a human face that Neo can talk to them.
Okay.
That's kind of what he was. That's a weird. Shout out to all my Matrix 3 fans, none of you because that movie's terrible.
Oh my god.
But Ben Baker is awesome, and it's weird like working with him at workshop and talking to him and then seeing
mm-hmm.
him do this. It was so. I lost him in it. He's a great performer, really, really, really.
Yeah. I don't know, for some reason, it's like when I first met him, I was like, this guy's gonna do a lot of contemporary realism. He's gonna be like, yeah, I don't know. And then, like, I saw him do Velveteen, and I'm like, oh, no, this guy is like this big sort of soul. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For sure. Is there anyone else that really stuck out to you guys as a big part of
your
performance?
Your twin, Quinn Grant, was in it.
I did. You know, it's weird. I went to go see it with my girlfriend, and she was sitting there, and there's a scene where they're at a bar, and Quinn is in the downstage right.
Oh, we
side.
Need to talk about that scene.
But Quinn, he's sitting there, and he's closest. Tyr and I are sitting, like, right in front of him, and I was like, I leaned over, I was like, hey, that's Quinn. That's my twin. And she's like, no, it's not. It's like, look at his hair and look at the facial hair that is Quinn. And she argued with me until he walked up in the line. And I was like, Tyr, that's Quinn right there. She's like, nuh-uh. And then he took the mask off and it was. I was like, yeah, it was Quinn. Yeah, you want to talk about the bar scene?
Yeah, because it was really cool where this conversation was happening between Natalie and Nikita in the center. And then on either side of them, the conversations that were happening were like mimicking famous short stories. Like the one on stage right was White Elephants by Ernest Hemingway. And
I didn't catch
that went right over my head.
Yeah, it's
wow.
the short story, almost the exact same lines where it's a guy trying to convince a girl to get an abortion.
Really?
Yeah. And on stage left, they were talking about The Cask of Amontillado.
Yeah, I did
Edward,
that one
Edward
I did
Al-
know.
Edgar
oh.
Al-
that one I did know.
Yeah. And I was just like, why are the short stories that I read in high school happening on either side of this scene?
Adrian,
this
great
is
catch.
Why you're the this is why you're the brains of the operation.
I guess.
What? Why do you? I mean, that's obviously a choice. Do you think? Need more analysis of it. But
I don't
know. It means something.
It definitely
quote.
Means something. Like those are famous. Well, these semi-famous short stories. But they weren't exactly. They weren't ripped exactly from.
But it was close.
Yeah. In Cask of Amontillado, you know, I mean, have y'all read?
I have not
yeah,
read
that's
it.
The, well, that's the dude who gets kind of like
he gets locked in. It's a murder. He gets bricked in a cellar.
Yeah, with the brick and the mortar.
I'm not sure. I'm really not sure why that's there.
Do you know Katie Wilson?
I honestly didn't even know that was prevalent. I was too busy flirting with David and serving drinks.
Oh my god.
you were the highlight of that scene.
No,
I mean, Katie, you know.
What was it? 5-inch stilettos?
It was insane. Yeah. It was fun though. And then you just like wait for your cue line. We're like, they're gonna ask for two more soon. But David and I would just be like,
the same and two more.
The same and two more.
So I feel like we've talked a lot about just about everything. Is there anything else you guys really wanted to talk about?
Well, Catherine, you got a final thought?
No, just that it's a wonderful cast and that I am just incredibly grateful to have been a part of it.
Aww. That's awesome.
Adrian, what were you going to say?
For some reason, I was very moved by Baraka as the priest.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so proud of him, guys. He grew so much.
That was amazing.
He was so good.
Yeah.
Like, seeing him in Joe Turner and seeing him here, who's like so different, because in Joe Turner all of his energy was more like up, mm-hmm. and that was fine, but I just
that
never felt
tiring.
Like yeah, and I never, it didn't quite,
no,
land.
Denise helped,
I don't know,
a lot.
Like he was fine, he was good, mm-hmm. but man, as the priest, you felt like there was a power behind him.
There
or
was.
At least you felt like he knew there was a power behind
he
him. Like something,
so hard.
Yeah, something
so
was connecting him to the floor.
It wasn't like, it's, you know what it was? It didn't feel as if he was being vengeful. Like he wasn't like sitting there being like vengeful, like I am God and I will
I'm
smite
God,
you.
Take that.
But it was such this energy of, you're doomed.
It was honest.
You're done. It was
it was
so honest,
like,
and so brutal.
You have
awesome.
Lived in hell because you don't know God. And I didn't feel like he was like, ha, you've lived in hell because you don't know God. It's just like, this is how the world is. Very
deal.
And
yeah.
you've made
very much, very powerful. I saw the same thing with Nikita.
Good.
That
yeah.
performance was fantastic.
I was
yeah.
so proud
like,
of
just,
guys.
Like, just this masculine energy.
Mm-hmm.
That was just really just...
Yeah, I loved
you
it when he was
sitting
Denise's
on... You could see Denise's work.
I love it when he was sitting on the headboard, you know, with the window open,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
next to the flower.
All shirtless and stuff.
He is hella jacked.
He is.
Yeah.
He lifts some serious weights.
Great work.
He did not look like a 19-year-old sophomore via back.
No.
He just didn't.
No.
And we're incredibly proud of him.
Yeah.
He really stepped up to the plate.
It's so weird that he's 19 and Natalie is, she's a graduate student, isn't she?
Yeah, I believe she's 23.
Something like that. And they
yeah.
I saw the same
sense.
Age up there.
Yeah, so did I.
Good.
I want to know, just as a final closing thing from you, Katie,
yeah.
what, after this production, because this production closes tomorrow, everyone go see it, it closes, what's the last performance?
2:00, I believe, tomorrow.
Oh my gosh.
2:00 on Sunday,
so hopefully
go see
if
it.
You get this up tonight, people might have a chance to listen to this and then go see it.
Well, if you weren't already going to go see it, go see it.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to know, what have you learned, whether as an artist, as a person, as a member of the Mackinaw, what is something that you've learned from this production?
Oh, wow.
It's a heavy question. It's heavy, Doc.
Yeah, no, I think mine was just being able to step up to the plate and be there for Natalie. Because
nice
if we weren't
metaphor.
There, it's true. If we weren't there, if we weren't on point, then why is she freaking out?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if we showed up and we did what we needed to do, and we knew what we needed to do, and that was something that Denise really helped us with, is just like getting into our bodies and going in and accomplishing our objectives as fast as we can, not as
mm-hmm.
fast as we can, but as precise or
efficient.
With what the mask calls for,
uh-huh.
what the lines call for, then learning to do that, and also having the respect and connection to our leading lady.
Yeah,
and
it was,
the stories
it was,
about her.
Yeah, it was,
so.
Yeah, the entire ensemble just, I mean, I've already talked about it with Baraka and Nikita, but this very specific low, like, earth and fire energy
mm.
yeah.
that just had this power, and it really felt like these, like, horrible forces of nature just battering against Natalie the whole show.
Uh-huh.
So, just congratulations, you guys.
Yeah,
you.
Big...
And congratulations
big
to Natalie. That was her thesis project, and boy, did
she nailed
nail
it. That's
yeah.
an A+. That's
mm-hmm.
an A+
mm-hmm.
project. And I think we're going to call that an On the Town, ladies and gents. So we will see you next time. What's our next On the Town going to be?
Next On
it's,
the Town.
Well, I guess Iphigenia or
Cloud 9 over at Paper Lantern?
No, try it upstage, Cabaret.
My
hey!
Apologies.
Let's shout out Upstaging at Upstage.
Hey!
All right!
So that's probably going to be the next one. And then after that is Pippi Longstocking. And
yeah.
then we're going on winter break after mm-hmm. that for On the Town, right?
Yeah.
We might be able to talk about Death Trap before then, depending on when
we
all see
should.
That.
Oh, next
yeah.
week?
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Maybe.
All right.
We'll figure all that out.
We'll figure that out off the
Thank
camera
you.
Recorder.
Off yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to call it episodes. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to see you next time on Upstaging on the Town. Play us out, Jeremy.